to Illusion of Difference, I as Creator, with your host, Elondis Lake. Our search for unity starts within. Our quest for safety starts within. Once we understand the role difference plays when building community, we can release what we are holding back. We can learn from life's challenges. We can become who we are meant to be.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Illusion of Difference. I'm your host, Elondis Lake, and I have my friend and colleague, Daywalker Earl, as my guest today. And we're going to talk about, under the heading of Why Ask Why. So with no further delay, I will say, Daywalker, welcome to the show.
Hey, Elondis. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. I just heard it say unmuted, and I thought it was my phone telling me to unmute myself. Yeah, brand new to the podcast. Yes, I am.
Hey,
fresh out of the box.
You're doing great, and I am very glad to have you. And one day over a ginger beer, I don't drink alcohol, but one day over a ginger beer, I will tell you some of the mistakes I've made in this journey of podcasting. So don't worry about it. You're doing fantastic. So we're here.
We are here. We are here, and you're not that far from me. What, 10, 12-hour drive?
Yeah. Tell my listeners a little bit about you, because we're all new here, and just give a little bit about your background and where exactly you're coming from, that kind of thing.
All right. Well, let's see. I could start from the time I'm born, because Tauruses do that, but born and raised third generation Oakland, California. My wife of 17 years now, and I live in Ukiah, California now, which is in Mendocino County. And I am 56 years old now, and I still feel 12 on most days. I identify as agender and butch, and I am assigned female at birth, but I'm also a hashtag bearded butch. So there's a lot going on right there to take in.
hey.
My wife and I have been we've been hosting the Butch Femme community on Facebook for just over 12 years now. Yeah. Over 12 years.
Hey.
We also have some affiliate groups. That's what we do.
Yes, and you do it so well. I'm a member of your groups, and if you're not a member, just look them up, and a lot of good energy there, a lot of good information, a lot of good people, and I've been connected to that for, I don't know how many years, but a pretty good while, I have to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
if I went
I'm
in there now and clicked
you.
Your name, it would give me your whole history if I clicked your name in there right now. It is literally it's a full time job. And for those who are listening, when you type in Butch Femme in your search box, it'll be the one group. It'll be the largest one to come up. It's almost 23,000 members now, and that's worldwide. So that's the main group, and from that group, you can get to the rest of our groups.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was so excited when I connected, because a lot of times butch identity is kind of not necessarily as visible. So I was really glad. And then when I found out, I didn't know how broad the membership was until after when I found that out.
Yeah.
I said, wow, there's a ton of us.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't feel crowded, and that's a good thing, I suppose.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. And you're right. And then you have some subgroups as well, which kind of helps us, zero in.
Yeah, we we spawned a singles a group, and that's for ages 18 and up. And then we have one specific to age 50 plus.
Yeah, that's
what
I am.
Yep. We also have an OFOS. That's old fashioned, old school. That's a particular dynamic within the culture of Butch Femme. So we host one of those groups as well. Feminescence is hosted by my wife, and that is for those of the femme persuasion. Whether you could be a stone femme, a high femme, it's just any kind of. What I heard recently, flannel femme. That was cool.
Yeah, it is. I haven't heard that one. That is pretty cool. So, the work you do is very, very much needed. And again, I'm very happy to have you here. And I hope to bring you back to actually talk about some of the wisdom that you have as far as bringing femmes and butches together, which I claim butch. And I've been a butch since I was big enough to walk and try to walk in my dad's shoes. So
right,
I've been
right,
one.
Right.
I was born one. But today we're going to talk about talking with people who consider themselves different from who, we're crossing differences across to connect. And one of the things I'm going to give, I give credit where credit's due. This, the title of this, Why Ask Why, is straight from you. And I thought it was, I really did, the title.
Thank you.
Because
thank you. We were talking, it was floating around in my head because I thought, well, what you're saying is, why ask why?
Yes.
And I thought, and that's what I said. I asked you, I said, do you title these? Because that would be a great title. Yeah.
And it is. It just kind of catches it in a nutshell. And it came from, I think, where we were just kind of blowing around over the phone and talking about what kinds of things got in the way of us being able to reach across boundaries that are set up social, sexual, all kinds of ways. We're separated. And try to bring us together because we're strength, with connection. And one of the things I think we both agree is that we kind of hesitate to ask why when we're talking with someone because we don't want to. I do. I'll put it on me. I don't want to come across as why you're doing that kind of thing. But I also want to have more information about the person that I'm talking with based on the topic, not just, hey, what you eat for lunch today. But when you're talking in a group and you're talking to connect with people, asking why can be a little on the tricky side for me. And I want to hear from you as well. And what you think about asking, that kind of thing.
I know that as history has unfolded social uniqueness out in the open in this particular part of the planet, it's become a little awkward to approach for some, and they're not really sure. But at the same time, we've also had a societal shift where people no longer default to fascination. They default to fear and confrontation when they're asked why about themselves. They feel as though maybe it's being asked to be used as a weapon for discrimination. Maybe, people are leery of why you're asking why. It's immediately seen as you're trying to filter me or whatever. Learn to default differently when somebody's asking why, and be open. Open up that wavelength and be open to, because when we're navigating human diversity, it should be as natural as navigating our own diversity. And sometimes
that's not easy either.
Yeah, we don't ask ourselves why usually until there's been a social or emotional upheaval of some sort, and then we need to reflect, and we need to sit and, you know, be and by that time, many of us are unaware that we're deprived of our own enlightenment. But yeah. if we could break the why ice, really, if we ask why of yourself first.
Exactly.
And then address it. It's like it gives you a little bit of, because you're going to hear truths that maybe is difficult to hear from yourself about yourself as you would from others, or things that are going to be tough to maybe have a wide enough lens to understand right away. But I think that when we're approached by others with a why. We got to remember, if we try to keep in mind it, once they've done that, because, you know, we know how we are about asking why. There's a little pause, right? Just try to keep in mind it. They're placing a fair amount of trust in your reply, and they're showing a great courage, considering the default reactions nowadays. By stepping up and asking. And they're not asking you to be their teacher. They're asking about you personally.
Right.
You don't have to be the end all know all answer to everything. But people are too beat up by a history that only asks why to use the replies as weapons and reasons.
For
discrimination.
And like you said, reasons to negate or argue. Or say, well, that doesn't make sense, that kind of thing. And
exclude
and label. But the thing that I move in as far as talking with people that I don't know as well as I'd like to, or who may see me as some other type thing, not type thing, but just other.
your presentation, your swagger and whatnot, people aren't used to seeing that from somebody who is obviously walking about proud as a masculine female.
And I love wearing suits and ties.
And how dare us show up like that, right? How dare we? Because, I mean, but masculinity, it's not owned by the male of our species, and it doesn't have a pronoun. Somebody, we might be a lot to be taken in. I mean, some people almost feel threatened when a masculine female presents with a robust manner and swagger when they walk into the room.
And they're not really sure, not apologizing.
Right.
Not apologizing
exactly.
for their presence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's energy. And the exchange is different for a lot of people, because this isn't this is the 1 in 10. You know, this is the 1 in 10 walking into the room, and you don't get a lot of interaction you're not sure if you're going to say something stupid. If you're going to ask the wrong things, you know, you're going to be politically incorrect. You're going to stammer and stumble over, you know, but navigating it, just the willingness to navigate that and to step up, ask why, and be the person who also allows themselves to be asked why.
It's how we all learn.
Yeah, we learned to be fascinated by these differences that we have.
And I think that the best way to practice this, asking why and answering why from someone else, is by doing it internally and being curious about your own reactions, being without judgment. Just be curious about it, or to yourself, to your feelings, to your thoughts. Sometimes I stop at whatever it is I'm doing, and somebody from way back will cross my mind. And instead of trying to push it out, I used to try to push them out, because I said, that's over, you know, where did that come from? But instead of now, I'm curious about why that person crossed my mind. And I pay attention to my feelings connected with it. Sometimes, inevitably, good memories come up, especially if distance was not friendly. Let's put it that way. We all have times when we decide to go separate ways. It doesn't have to be partners. It could be friends or whoever. And either it's not wanted on both sides, or the distance is because of some kind of disagreement or whatever, you know, whatever it is.
Right,
but
right.
When somebody like that crosses my mind and I'm curious about it, a lot of times, because most relationships that we have are seldom all bad or all good, but sometimes the good memories get pushed down in the loss or sometimes anger.
Yeah.
Leaving it and sitting with whatever it is coming up. A lot of times I've found that good memories come up that I had forgotten about with whoever was popped in my head. So I offer that for you to think,
you know,
what you think about, share what you think about it. And
well, it's an open-hearted choice, really. I have actually made that choice in the past to, I'd almost say out loud, we're parting ways here, but I am going to choose to leave our legacy at some of the positive times that we shared. What was it Carole King said? I'm glad for the time that we had, in I think it's a conscious thing. It's a decision that you make to hold dear. Don't let everything else cloud it. Hold dear and own the fact that you had a good time with this person that you can't stand now.
Yeah.
Or they can't stand you.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, everything's all icky now, but there was a time, you know, it's like everything's all icky, you know, but there was a time when it wasn't icky. And so it's a conscious choice and it's almost, you can almost do it to spite them if you'd like. It's like, you know what, screw you. I'm only going to remember the good stuff and, c'est la vie. You know, and so
I wish you well. But
also
leads us into how asking respectful questions that are in the context of sharing who we are with another person, that can be healing between people as well in communities where we tend to be arguing or we feel like we don't have anything in common. Or there's a lot of that going on politically now, spiritually, just you name it. And there are people they're lining up on different sides, and there's very little in the middle, you know.
Right.
So
right.
I actually
find that the politics outweighs the separation and almost puts a shadow over. Dialogue I've seen happen on spirituality and whatnot and beliefs. Those conversations, honest to God, I've seen them go very well in the last couple of years. I don't know what's going on with that, but they've gone very well. And people have done the adult thing and worked their way through it. I wish it had been like that always, but of course not. But when it comes to the politics now, that one is even a tougher topic to get near without it getting burned.
And even sometimes to get people to talk about it from different perspectives. I've tried to do that a couple of times. And
I have done it a couple of times.
Resistance.
And it's tough.
It's resisted.
It's tough.
It's very much resisted.
I've sat down with a couple of people that because I feel like people's political beliefs these days seem to be parallel to their spiritual beliefs. These are beliefs, and I wouldn't unfriend somebody over their spiritual beliefs. And so it's tough to unfriend somebody because they happen to be a Republican, unless they're also a racist and a bigot and just an overall idiot. So, you know, I mean, there's a filter in there, but I mean, but I do have a friend who is a more on the conservative side, and they've actually, they took open time with me and tolerated my questions. And
well,
because
that's
I presented
good.
With, I presented with, you know what, can I dig for a little bit? You know, I'm just super curious, and I just want to know, you know, where you're coming from. I don't want to try and change your mind. I just want to know where you're coming from. I want to better understand where all this is rooted from, and could you help me out there? And they took the time, and, you know, we hugged it out in the end, you know, and it was difficult, and it ended up that most of their answers were based upon the environment in which they live, and it made all the difference in the world to them, enough difference for them to blind themselves from everything else going on in order to just say, I voted for him because of the economy. It's like, that's not a big enough excuse anymore. I mean, it was hard for me to chew on that. It's like, okay, but what about all this other stuff? You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So, but for me, I don't live in an area that had all the factories closed down, where it was the only jobs in town and everybody's on dire straits now. And I don't live in that world. So, it was, you know, I needed to know where it was rooting from and why that was so incredibly prevalent in their decision, enough to blind them of everything else, even things that were taken, even things that were attacking their own personal identity. It's tough. It's a tough conversation, but much tougher than what I've experienced with spirituality, beliefs, and religion. And it's just gotten to that point, you know. So when we're asking these things of people, you know, you got to be genuine, you know, with them, and just come at it like, you know, you're just neighbors talking over the fence to one another, you know, and just hanging out on a Sunday afternoon, and you know, like I think I made a note where when we're asking ourselves for clarification. Do we have realistic expectations that we will better understand our own thought process?
Exactly.
Generally, that's why we do it, right? Thinking along the same lines when you're engaging with others helps remove the tedium and the hesitation to ask. If we think, you know, well, what are your expectations from this? And you want to come at it by voicing. Starting off with clarifying why you're about to ask something, you know,
or
gives them a little bit of groundwork. What is your intention with the information they're about to give you? You know, it's like, I don't want to use it as a weapon. I just want to ask you a couple questions to better understand where your thought process is.
And if you're living in that, what you're describing is an innocent way of engaging people who you might consider different. One, sometimes when you're first meeting people or one or two people and you think just on the surface that we don't have anything in common, I have had opportunities to meet people and talk with people, and we have a ton of stuff in common. Politics is – we might disagree on some of it, but there's a lot of other stuff we can talk about. The other thing is
– right.
One of the approaches I use – is to find that innocent part of me and just be curious. And that curious energy precedes the question. And it's I have found that as long as I do that and stay on topic, I get a good reaction to the conversation as far as, do you mind if I ask a question? So I'm wondering if it might be time to close up and pick this up from right at this spot. And I seem to have lost. Daywalker, are you there? I seem to have lost you. Disappeared. So I'll run my mouth a little bit and see about getting getting him back. But if not, we'll be having conversations like this in the future. And, yeah, it looks like we're going to wrap things up. And thank you for listening. Join me again. I have a podcast on illusionofdifference.com. Oh, there you are. Hey, we're back.
Well, sorry. I don't know what happened. It just suddenly cut off.
No problem. No problem at all.
All right.
But I was just getting ready to wrap up anyway. So
I was probably rambling on.
We both were. We're going to have some good conversations in the future. This was a good one. This was a good one as well.
Good. I look forward to
closing,
it.
You have any closing thoughts you want to share with the readers, people just as we move out?
Well, yeah. Actually, exchange.
Yeah.
Energy exchange and wavelength.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody is curious and wants to ask me something, I may exchange then, in exchange, ask something of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to exchange mutual interest as well. And,
yes.
And also, approaching them in just the right way matters.
Yes.
Because it lets them know that you're checking in with and measuring their boundaries and respecting their own safe space as far as
yes.
Personal information. And
yes, and we'll pick up on respect and how to really set the stage where both people feel comfortable and safe, and maybe even broaden it out to a larger group. So thank you so much, Daywalker, for being here. I knew this.
Thank you for having me.
I knew it. And I very much look forward to talking with you some more. All right?
Me
Have
too.
A good day.
You too.
That's all for today. Join me again next time.
Thank you for listening. This has been Illusion of Difference, I as Creator, with your host, Alonda Lake. Join us again. Continue to learn how to take charge in every situation, every challenge.